Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line now, we have Letal Shoka Cherto, who's an expert for diplomacy and also a former IDF spokesperson. Letal, a very good afternoon to you. And thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh, great to have you on board, Letal, and thanks again for taking the time to join us. We've come to that time for an update on the war against Hamas and the hostage deal. My first question to you, Letal, if I can throw it out to you, how do you view progress so far, given the arrests and roundups that the IDF has conducted so far, especially around the Shifa hospital? How would you describe this progress so far?
I think that the most important thing, and we've discussed this many times, that currently there is no end game to this war. We don't see the international community or the Arab world or the Palestinians offering any relevant alternative to the ruling of Hamas. And the story of the Shifa hospital is a good example to show how the IDF has withdrew from most of northern Gaza already. But we see that in the lack of any other alternative, Hamas just right away takes over. They don't stop or they don't see the hospitals the same way the international community does, as a no war area. They use the hospital intentionally as a safeguard, as a place where they store weapons, where they held hostages, where they have their senior commanders hide out and take advantage of this facility. So I think, you know, it's a good case study for the international community to understand maybe a little bit of what Israel is facing here when talking with a terrorist organization.
Sure. Little,
and, you know, when we...
Sorry, carry on. Yeah, sorry, I beg your pardon. Please carry on.
No, I'm saying that when we're looking at what faces Israel or what are the options that Israel has, we cannot have Hamas terrorists and Hamas military infrastructure keep on existing and keep on using or abusing, to be more correct, civilian infrastructure in Gaza. We must have, and this is not just up to Israel to come up with some sort of solution to the situation.
Right. Little, if I can just come in there, I have posed this question to many I've spoken to about this issue. You know, you find the United Nations and you have all these groups voicing opinions, this, that, and the other. Do they not have observers on the ground, you know, like observing what the IDF is discovering, what the IDF is dealing with?
So it's a very good question. Unfortunately,
that's
this is work-life balance, right?
Okay, got his opinion too, or her opinion.
Even when the IDF, via the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or other official bodies in Israel, present to the international community, and especially both the UN, the UN Security Council, and other international organizations, the data, the evidence, they don't take it in consideration, or it's always yes, but why were you there in the first place? You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't accept it. It always has some following questions. And unfortunately, even the most common UN body within Gaza, which is UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, right? The only people in the world that are not a part of the general UN refugee organization, you know, they are, in a sense, a part of Hamas. We have hundreds of UNRWA employees that were found either taking active part in the October 7th massacre, or having to hold hostages during these past few months, and additional many other aspects where UN employees take part in the works of Hamas as a terror organization.
I don't know what it would take to convince you know, as you say, they ask questions on findings and this, that, and the other. And one can only hope that, you know, sanity will prevail at least, because it's really getting annoying. I mean, the IDF has got these reports, but I would I've got testimonies in one of you, but the U, the United Nations, seems to just turn, to put it mildly, this blind eye to what's happening there. But
right.
But Littal,
I mean,
take
a look at everything when it comes even to sexual violence. You know, something that isn't, it's not the military, it's not the IDF within Gaza. This is actual evidence that Israel came up with, and the world still refuses to acknowledge that these devastating, horrible sexual terrorism has taken place.
Indeed. And whilst we're on the subject of the hostages and what's transpired, as you've just outlined, Littal, have you, since we chatted, have you been in touch with any of the hostages' families?
I actually have been.
Okay.
This is a terrible situation. Mm. I've spoken to some of them even yesterday. They are in complete despair. To be honest, many of them aren't sure that their loved ones are even alive still.
Shame.
They feel like it's really a terrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they don't see the end to it. Even if we're talking about a hostage deal, they're talking about different stages to this hostage deal. And, you know, they're talking about humanitarian first. And there are just so many, you know, there's a level of what type of hostage you are and what are the chances accordingly to will you be released or not.
Littal,
it's terrible.
Sorry about that. Sorry, I thought you'd conclude it again, but I just wanted to elaborate a bit on that. Are the hostage families liaising closely with government? I mean, there was talk at one stage they wanted to be in on hostage negotiations themselves. And as you've pointed out, how desperate it's getting and how tragic it's becoming. What is the situation, the stance there right now?
Between the families and the government,
yes, families and the government.
So the families aren't one united body, unfortunately, with over 130 hostages. The families are also divided, you know, among themselves.
Indeed.
We have to remember that some families, I mean, it depends on the age of the hostages. If you have a hostage who is over 80 years old or younger man, or if you have someone that is known to be injured, or if it's unfortunately a female soldier who most likely is being, among other things, sexually abused while in captivity. Mm. There are different aspects and different, I think, both expectations when it comes to the government. Some families support the government and believe it. Most families are really losing hope of the government. They are trying to do everything in their power. Some families are losing patience.
Indeed,
you know, and there's a distrust in the government and about its willingness to actually really bring these hostages home.
Indeed. Littal, we've just about run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on the Afternoon Overdrive to once again delve into these issues. As you mentioned earlier on, we've spoken about this before, the progress of the Israel-Hamas war, and of course the families of the hostages, and how tragic this is becoming now, how depressing and how impactful it's becoming on their lives. Littal Shokat-Chertow, expert for diplomacy and former IDF spokesperson. One can imagine what these families are going through.